This is Inside Wealth, the ultimate disclosure on Talk 910 KNEW. Living a healthy and happy life is about awakening the matters of your wallet, balanced by concerns of your heart. Now, Stu Zimmerman.
Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Inside Wealth, where we're talking about the kind of wealth that money just can't buy. It is truly a joy to be alive. And when we feel that, when we have that sense of love, of ourselves, of life itself, for being incarnate in the skin and bones, no matter what in the world is going on, and I think we know that there is a lot going on in the world not to love, but when we place our attention on what we have that is just to be grateful for, this being alive right here, right now, whether it's our relationships, whether it's food on the table, we can get down to basics here. That is inside wealth. And that is something when we take it out into the world, even as we go and make money, nothing wrong with money, right? Nothing wrong with money. When we take that love of life out into the world and be the best human being we could possibly be as we create money, it doesn't get any better. Along those lines, we have with us today another fantastic show. We got the wise women with us today. We got Beverly Kay. She is world-renowned expert in management consulting, career development, has written a book four times over, fourth edition, called Love 'Em or Lose 'Em. It's co-authored with Sharon Jordan Evans, and she's the founder and president of Career Systems International and works with hundreds of the Fortune 1000 companies. She's an icon in leadership training, coaching, and God bless her, she's with us today. We also have another good doctor, Hazel Henderson, making a house call on our winning business segment. She's the producer of the Ethical Markets series on TV and the book with the same name. She helped to create the Calvert Henderson Quality of Life Indicators because we know that GDP alone does not measure the state of our economy and our well-being. But before we get to Bev and Hazel, you got this week's bowl of stew. Yes. You know, we've been playing this game of consciousness because, in fact, no string quartet here, but in fact, this is our second to last episode in this incarnation of Inside Wealth. And we're going to take a bit of a hiatus after 3 years. And so I'm playing this game of consciousness of having one life to live, where, of course, if you had one life to live, wouldn't you start getting down the basics yourself and really getting clear on what your priorities are, kind of laser-like? Wouldn't you? What would you do with your last month if you had 1 month to live of great health and then, boom, it was gone? And the reason why I ask that question, it's even timely today, because, you know, this past week, one guy didn't get to ask that question, and his name is Tim Russert, right? The guy who hosts Meet the Press. No advance notice, boom, he's gone. Massive heart attack, gone. So none of us, not all of us, will ever really know when our time is up or get that advance notice, which frankly makes this moment even more special and more valuable. So as I'm contemplating here having this benefit of having advance notice of 1 month to live here, I'd like to talk about love for a second. I'd like to talk about love. Because when it really comes down to it, isn't that what makes our life worthwhile? Just what it feels like in our bodies. Just to love who we're with, love what we're doing, love our surroundings. Love just being, what's the word I'm looking for here? Just to have this sense of vitality, whether it's smells, fragrances, tastes, touch. And we all know that some touches can feel really incredibly good. And not all of them have to be sexual, right? Even a caress and a hug with someone you love, a child, whatever. It's amazing. It's really the best. It's the best of what life has to offer. And so as I'm focusing on this love energy, because let's face it, you know, we have this energy crisis going on out there. Have you noticed? How can you not notice? You know, FedEx just dropped the latest bombshell with their earnings, and it's all related to energy and the economy that's softening as specifically related to higher energy prices, higher costs of all kinds. And we do have a crisis out there in terms of energy. And what I'm talking about now is our own personal energy, because that really is, you know, determines the quality of our lives, right? It's our energy. The more energy we have, the more vital and vibrant and grateful and excited and enthusiastic and or even peaceful, for that matter. That determines our wealth. That determines our sense of well-being. So if I had 1 month to live, I would focus on that. Focus on my energy. So I'm inviting you to do the same, to focus on your energy. And one thing that I'm finding that works for me is not just to focus on my breath, but to consider that something greater, something that is all that is doing the breathing for me. That's a wealth that money can't buy. Our guest today is Beverly Kay. She's nationally recognized as an expert in management and career development, written numerous books, including Love 'Em or Lose 'Em, Getting Good People to Stay, that she co-authored most recently with Sharon Jordan Evans. And she's the founder and president of Career Systems International, where she works with hundreds of the largest companies in the world. So without further ado, Bev, thank you so much for joining us on Inside Wealth.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So before we get into all the specifics of your book, which is fantastic, Love 'Em or Lose 'Em, I love it. How do you define success?
You know, it's interesting. I think that's been something I have tried to do and been doing ever since the late 70s, when I wrote a book called Up Is Not the Only Way. And what I tried to do then is to say to everybody in organizations, up can't possibly be the only way to success. If you let yourself define it that way, you are bound to be frustrated and disappointed. You must define other ways, other things that give you success other than that vertical move, because no organization can promise it to everybody who deserves it, and no deserving person can bank on it as something they'll get from their organization. So I think success has everything to do with what it means to be satisfied and excited and engaged and turned on by the work you do. I'm talking about workplace success. And in Up Is Not the Only Way, I said it can be a vertical move. It can be a lateral move. It can be a move where you grow in place. It can be a move where you leave one organization for another. And it can be a move where you move back to something you loved that you're sorry you left to take on this new thing. And the more we don't put all our eggs in the same basket, the more chance we have of achieving success.
Well, Bev, that's very sage advice. That's fantastic. As you know, it's kind of interesting. You mentioned possibly that one of the ways for us to achieve success could be from time to time leaving the organization that we're at to go to another one, mm-hmm. which is an interesting segue to your book, Love 'Em or Lose 'Em, and Getting Good People to Stay. So just out of curiosity's sake, you know, how does this book, Love 'Em or Lose 'Em, translate now, especially in an economic environment that is really challenging?
Well, I think that's a great question, and the answer is that it translates into any environment, and that is to say that talent, good talent, is always going to be in demand. And despite the economic environment we have right now, there is still a talent shortage, and it's only going to get worse. So talent is still going to have choices. And if in this economic environment we take our eye off the wheel and we say, oh, let's just let people go if they go and not worry about it because we need to cut back anyway. When the environment shifts again, we're going to find ourselves without that precious talent. So I think this is a time to let talent know you care. I think it's a time to let talent know they are absolutely essential to your competitive edge. And I think it's a time not to take your eye off that ball.
And what I'm also hearing you say, Bev, is to take a longer view of the world and not just necessarily the next quarter or two.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just what organizations, we have a hard time doing.
Sure.
Because we get, it's scary to not have payroll. It's scary to go into the red. It's scary to say, oh my gosh, this quarter has been only half of what last quarter was, and the answer is cut people. Or the answer is take away all the development opportunities we offer people. Somehow we have to learn not to go there first and fast.
Well, you know, old habits certainly die hard. Although what's wonderful is there is such a increasing body of work and management science that indicates the correlation between a vibrant culture and sustainable profitability that, you know, at this point is irrefutable. So to that extent, this whole notion of slashing and burning and cost cutting and all of that, while some of it may need to be done from time to time, it's not necessarily a pathway for success.
True. And I think that the savviest of organizations and the savviest of organization leaders know that. And they are continually looking at who is our critical talent. And not only who is our critical talent, but who is our buried treasure? Who's under the radar screen
need
to grow and develop?
You know, I was going to ask you that, Bev, because when you say love them or lose them, and if it's just about retaining talent, does that mean you love the talented people and kind of let everybody else, whatever?
Well, what Love and Lose tries to say is you better define talent broadly, because talent is not just your A players. Talent is your A players and your B players and maybe even your C players, who are only C players because they're in the wrong place at the wrong time reporting to the wrong boss. So I think we try to say, the full title of the book is Love 'Em or Lose 'Em, Getting Good People to Stay. And when we define good, we say it is all of your talent, because you really need your B players to support your A players, and you need all of the talent in the organization. You need them to be marching to the right drum, and you need them to be contributing. And if you only put your eyes on the top talent or the leaders to be, I think you're missing out on the massive middle. And that massive middle can make you or break you.
You know, Bev, that's a great point. And by the way, we are here with Beverly Kay, who has written in her fourth edition now a fantastic book called Love 'Em or Lose 'Em, Getting Good People to Stay. And she's a consultant to some of the major corporations and trainer in corporate America. So you got to listen up, everybody, here, because Bev knows firsthand where the companies are succeeding and, frankly, where their shortcomings are. And, you know, your point is so well taken that my sense is that talent is substantially more ubiquitous than we'd otherwise think, especially if we believe that it is so. And if there's any way for these companies to love and to communicate and to provide the skills and the structures for people to succeed, you know, these C players may be B players.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that what you're saying?
I always say that when you interview someone, you never say, my, you'll make a great C player. I think I'll bring you into our company. You think they're going to be an A player, and something goes wrong. And often we blame it on the individual, and we don't look inside to say, hey, maybe they're placed with the wrong manager. Maybe the job is not a fit. Maybe, maybe, maybe. We think C player, you know, bottom of the barrel, let's let him go. And I think we're doing that person a disservice.
We're here with Bev Kay, and stay tuned for more with her and the book Love 'Em or Lose 'Em, Getting Good People to Stay. I'm going to learn more about retention, recruiting, and how to build a fantastic business in any environment, right here on Inside Wealth. We'll have more Inside Wealth right here on Talk Radio 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco. You have a business, a mission, and a message. Inside Wealth can deliver that message to an intelligent, insightful, and mindful audience. Being a sponsor on Inside Wealth, you become an important player in a win-win agreement where nobody has to lose. Invest in your business and your purpose by calling 707-425-2360 or go to InsideWealth.net and sponsor radio that makes a difference. Inside Wealth, the greatest show on earth.
Imagine, you're lying in your bed stranded because you can't walk. Your friends and family go about their day, but you're left behind. You can't move without dragging your lifeless legs across the ground, stumbling every step, struggling to carry the entire weight of your body on two arms. This is reality for more than 100 million children and adults worldwide. They simply can't afford the one thing that will change everything, a wheelchair. We're the Wheelchair Foundation. We deliver hope, mobility, and freedom to impoverished people across the globe. And now you can be part of this great mission. A small gift from you can buy a brand new wheelchair and set a suffering person free. You won't believe how little it takes. Transform a life instantly. To make a donation or to find out how you can help, call the Wheelchair Foundation.
Call toll free. 888-378-3839. 888-378-3839.
Are you looking to help give back to the community but need great flexibility? Tony La Russa's Animal Rescue Foundation, ARF, has a flexible volunteer position tailored just for you. You can share in the triumph of helping an orphan kitten or puppy. ARF needs volunteer fosters to provide a little extra time or attention until these animals can be adopted into their forever homes. ARF will provide the food, medication, and support, and you provide the love. Check out ARF.net or call 925-256-1-ARF today.
Today, the fastest route to career success is a college degree. And today, the fastest route to your college degree is via the internet at University of Phoenix Online. Designed for working adults, University of Phoenix Online lets you earn your degree when and where you want without interrupting your job or your personal life. At University of Phoenix Online, you'll learn from industry leaders. You'll study with other motivated adults, and you'll complete real-world projects that can help you excel at your current job. Best of all, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years with over 30 degree programs to choose from. Don't wait any longer to start earning your bachelor's or master's degree now. To learn more, call University of Phoenix Online at 877-286-1404. That's 877-286-1404. A better future is as close as your computer. Call today, 877-286-1404. That's 877-286-1404.
We are here with Beverly Kay, who is an expert in retention, engagement, and career development, and has written a fantastic book, now in its fourth edition, called Love 'Em or Lose 'Em, Getting Good People to Stay. And she's more than just an author. You know, she's the founder and CEO of Career Systems International, which consults and the leadership coaching and training to myriad, hundreds of companies, number of whom you know. So with that, Bev, thank you again for being here. And, you know, we talked last segment about getting people to stay. And can you tell us a little bit more in terms of, is it just a money thing that gets people to stay? Or what is it that is really at the heart of retention?
Well, I think it's definitely more than money. In fact, in our research and in, you know, everybody else's, the surprise is always that money never turns out to be the number one reason I stay. It might be the number one reason I go or why I say I'm going. But when we looked at over 20,000 people to begin our research, we found that they stay, really. The number one factor was if my job is challenging and exciting. Number two, if I'm learning and I feel like my career is going somewhere. And number three, I stay if I get to work with some great people. Pay was usually not number one, two, or three. Now, pay will come into the picture and go up higher if, in fact, I'm not learning, if, in fact, my job isn't challenging. In fact, I don't have the attention of my boss. I don't feel I work with some great people. Then pay becomes more important. And pay becomes more important if I'm not appreciated or thanked for my good work. Then my paycheck is the only thing that tells me I'm doing a good job. So if, in fact, we really look at the factors that cause people to stay and go, it is attention from their manager. It is a job that is nourishing and exciting and challenging, where I'm learning. And it is the chance to work in an environment that I really look forward to coming to.
So do you think that companies really, I mean, there's been a lot of studies out that validate what you're just saying. Do companies, senior management, really get this?
You know, I think some do and some don't. Maybe the ones who do are the ones who have lost precious talent. Either they've left, you know, that manager, or they've become less engaged. You know, they used to be excited about the work, and now they're just like doing the minimum. I think when a manager looks at their team and says, gee, I've lost some great talent, or my team isn't producing the way it used to, then the manager is experiencing their own pain. And maybe it's a wake-up call.
Mm.
And I think sometimes it takes that to put a manager, you know, on their own edge to be more aware of what's going on. And I think many managers, unfortunately, think there's plenty of talent out there. So no big deal if I lose this. If I lose this one, I'll get someone else.
So what is your recommendation? On a proactive level, because not everybody wants to go down the path of experiencing that, you know, the pain of loss in order to learn the lessons.
Well, here's one idea that all your listeners can do immediately. And here's the way I'd set it up. When do you think most managers ask the question, what can I do to keep you? Because asking that question is critical. What can I do to keep you? You're important to me. I don't want to lose you. When do those words come out of managers' mouths?
When the employee has given 2 weeks' notice.
Exactly. At the exit interview, you know, when they're giving notice, when they're at the exit interview, etc. So what we are suggesting is something very simple. We're saying, forget those exit interviews. Start doing stay interviews. Start asking people often, what can I do to keep you? What's important to you? What really matters? Because, boy, you are critical to this team, and I don't want to lose you. And it's a simple question. And when I ask managers what makes it hard to ask, the answer is, if I ask people, what can I do to keep you, they'll tell me something that I can't do, and then I've opened a Pandora's box. They'll say more money or that job or that, you know, piece of equipment, and then I'm really stuck. And what we say is, no, you're not stuck. The question is to ask, to tell the truth, I can't deliver on that right now. I'd love to, I can't. Tell me what else is important, what else matters, because I'm determined to understand some of the things that really matter to you and some of the things that I can influence. Because, boy, I don't want to lose you. And then you get into a whole different level of conversation, all around the question, what else matters?
We're here with Beverly Kay, who clearly is one sharp cookie here, as well as somebody who has just a big heart, where you actually do understand and realize that we're all human beings here, and people want to be cared for, they want to be appreciated, and nurtured as well as challenged. So that makes so much sense, and it sounds so obvious. You mentioned in your book something about re-recruiting. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're kind of referring to here, how you're recruiting your current employees to continue to stay? Or
yes, in a way that is. And in a way, it's, you know, it can be asked in any number of ways. You know, the great re-recruiting question is this job what you hoped it would be when you took it? You know, are we coming through on our promises? Because one of the big reasons new recruits leave, and a lot of organizations have trouble keeping their new recruits, is that the picture the recruiter painted isn't so. Whatever that picture was, it's not coming true. And unfortunately, we don't learn that until it's too late and the person's out the door. But what is the picture the recruiter painted that is being delivered? And what is the picture the recruiter painted that just is not being delivered?
You know, that's a great question. In fact, I'd invite everybody to consider, even if you're retired, that's a great question to ask of your spouse. Because I got to tell you, Bev, you know, when I looked at the title of the book, Love Him or Lose Him, the first thing I thought about is marriage.
Right.
If you don't love your spouse,
right,
you're going to lose him, right?
And
you know, and this question is just as relevant in one's personal life as it is professionally.
It is. It's, you know, honey, I love this relationship. You know, what could I do to make it even better? Or what are you not getting from me? It's a scary question to ask.
Mm.
You know, what am I not delivering,
right,
that you wish I would?
Which, of course, is no guarantee that you're going to deliver.
Right.
But at least it's a great place to start with conversation, with honesty and truthfulness.
Exactly.
And it certainly shows that you care.
And I think maybe the punchline to all this is conversation.
Mm.
It is about having a conversation. It is about looking into the other person's eyes. It is about giving it time. It is about saying, stopping from the crazed, busy lives we live and saying, I care. I care enough to stop and really listen to you and what it is you need and what it is you want. Because meeting those needs and wants, you know, are going to keep you on my team and in this organization. And when I say on my team, I think the best of managers know that sometimes you have to let a person go in order to grow. And what I want to do is I want to keep talent for the good of my organization and not just for my department. I met a lot of people who left organizations because they felt their managers hoarded their talent.
Mm.
And they left for a similar job in another organization where they felt they had more freedom to make change. So I think that's important, too.
We're here with Beverly Kay, who has a number of pearls of wisdom here. A number of which are emanating from her book, Love 'Em or Lose 'Em, Getting Good People to Stay. She co-authored it with Sharon Jordan Evans. And Bev, you talk about not just communication and asking some of these deeper questions of relationship, but also the importance of fun at work.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, I think that we're seeing more and more that people expect work to be an enjoyable place to come to. I mean, and fun at work does not necessarily mean, ha-ha, who tells the best jokes at work? Fun at work means that there are times when we are lighter. There are times when we do play with each other in the very best sense of the word. There are times when, laughing about something is the greatest way to let go of stress. And fun at work, you know, doesn't mean a skit or a, joke telling. It is stopping for pizza. It is, a manager who gives an employee, a fun little tchotchke that says thank you. It's all those things and brings a smile to someone's face. So more and more, I think, especially with the Gen Yers, we want to see people, enjoy work and be able to laugh and be able to play a bit. And the more you play a bit, the more you work harder, I think.
Well, it certainly creates a little more energy. I mean, I remember the Shining, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Right.
I'm not saying that people are going, maniacal out there, but to the extent it's not fun, I could see where not only are stress levels higher, which of course could have physical implications for your health, but also just the energy level.
Right.
That you and the attention span that you have.
Right.
I got to believe is, can be minimized.
Right. You know, in the Love 'Em book, Sharon and I tell a lot of, we call them alas stories. Alas stories are, the fish that got away. And I think in the Kicks chapter, we talk about some employees who had stepped out of their office at one point and were laughing about a story one of them told. And their boss stuck his head out and said, I don't pay you for that. And shortly afterwards, all three of them left. And it was just a sad story about, a boss who said, this is not acceptable here. And I think that work is so much intruding into life that it's getting very hard to separate the two. I think we have to go with it instead of going against it.
Well, I think conversely, we are so used to at least doing our best to compartmentalize who we are away from work versus who we are at work, which to a large degree is folly because, if we have problems at home, we think we can check them at the door when we get into the office, but not always. And vice versa, if things are really hard at work and challenging with the boss or what have you, when we go home, it's kind of hard to be lovey-dovey and playful.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't switch it on and off. So
I
think your point is extremely well taken.
Right. And it's true. It is a place to do what I love doing and to do it with people that I love being with. And if I'm doing what I love doing with people I love being with, why would I leave?
Exactly. We've got one more question, Bev. Things have been going so fast here. We've got one more question before we let you go here. And especially in these challenging times, and they are challenging and economically, and they may get tougher before they get easier. What would you offer up as some words of advice both to employers and employees to keep in mind at this time?
I think I'd say to employers that it's no longer the golden rule which says, do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. It's the platinum rule that says, do unto others as they want to be done to. So the key role for the manager is to ask, what's important? What really matters? Tell me, because, boy, I want to make this environment work for you. And I think for the employee, it is, don't expect your manager to read your mind. You need to ask for what you want. You need to ask for it in such a way that you give your manager some choices in how he or she can help you deal with it. You don't ask as a demand. And we talk about that in the sequel to Love 'Em, which is called Love It, Don't Leave It.
Mm.
26 Ways to Get What You Want at Work.
Beverly Kay, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
You are welcome. My pleasure.
We have more Wealth to Share right here on KNEW, 910 AM, San Francisco. Will, ownership, trust, appreciation. They all work in the financial world. And they are all keys to security and wealth beyond measure. And it's all in our book, Inner Security and Infinite Wealth, subtitled Merging Self-Worth and Net Worth. Hey there, it's me, Stu Zimmerman. Come to our website at insidewealth.net. That's insidewealth.net and order your copy today. That's insidewealth.net. We're blowing the doors wide open on Inside Wealth right here on Talk 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco. And now it's time for our winning business segment, and you know why it's winning business. It's because nobody has to lose. And with us today is Dr. Hazel Henderson. She's a futurist, a brilliant woman. I absolutely adore her also. Just a wonderful heart. She was the creator and co-executive producer of the Ethical Markets TV series, wrote the book of the same name, Growing the Green Economy, and also the creator of the Calvert Henderson Quality of Life Indicators, where it's not just simply the numbers. It's also about what they mean to our lives that really determines the vibrancy and the effectiveness of our economy. So with that, Hazel, thank you so much again for being with us in Inside Wealth. And what do you have for us today?
Well, thanks, Stuart. Good to be here. So I just want to talk about two ways that we could end the recession and help grow the new green economy, because really nobody has to lose out of this current recession. And as you know, 70% of the American people now say we are already in a recession. And so my view is that rather than more Fed bailouts of Wall Street, as you know, the Fed has already spent $400 billion of its $800 to $900 billion of reserves on all these bailouts. And instead of another stimulus package, which is what the Congress is talking about, on top of the $170 billion that's already coming in those stimulus checks, last time I read about this, apparently a large proportion of those stimulus is going to be spent either, you know, on goods that are made in China or else on booze and tobacco and whatnot and gambling. So instead of another stimulus like that, let's keep the investments here at home. And that means to retain the investment tax credit for solar, wind power, and other renewables to keep growing the green economy. Right now, the oil industry is trying, is fighting to try to get them cut off. And if they are cut off, it means a lot of investments from other countries in Europe that are trying to invest in the U.S. will go invest somewhere else. And then number two, let's have cities take the lead now, employing their local construction companies on renovating buildings and doing energy and green retrofits, which there was the best example is the city of Cambridge, Massachusetts, where they really have a hard time, you know, because they use so much energy. And as they're retrofitting these old buildings, like their city hall, they find they can save 50% of the energy, and of course, a tremendous amount of money, and employ hundreds of thousands of local people. And so we can also begin repairing our bridges, our levees, our dams, and our roads, and that will employ hundreds of thousands of people. And the whole idea is let's keep our money here at home rather than sending more overseas to buy more foreign oil. And so if any of your listeners want to know how many new jobs, they can go to the ApolloAlliance.org or GreenForAll.org. And both those organizations have the numbers, and you can also get to them from our own website. So how about that, Stu?
You know, it sounds great. And what you're saying here is there is very strong economic and ROI, return on investment, underpinning in these retrofits and in going green. This is not just something that feels good, and it's something that will extract us years from now from dependency on foreign oil.
Yeah, absolutely. And go to the Cambridge, Massachusetts experiment that they've got going there, which was reported on that PBS program Now. And it's really amazing what they're doing there. And it doesn't cost money. It saves money. How about that?
Hazel Henderson, thank you so much for bringing such such wisdom and clarity to a circumstance right now that can feel awfully scary to a lot of people because, you know, it looks like we're in for a doozy.
Thank you, Stu. Take care.
Don't you just love Hazel Henderson? You know, she's such a great thinker. And, you know, clearly she's been around the block for many, many years, and she hasn't lost her zeal for life and always looking to find ways to improve our lives and on a global scale. So she's just not thinking about only herself all the time. It's about all of us and ways to end the recession. And I can't help but get a sense here that, you know, there is a theme here with new paradigms. New paradigms, because these times are changing. And in fact, we've got a big decision coming up in a few months between what we consider to be a continuation of an old paradigm. You can guess who we're talking about. Or the prospects of a new paradigm. Okay, new paradigm, I'll spell it out. Barack Obama. Old paradigm, I'm not talking about his chronological age, although we could go there too, but it really isn't about chronological age. Because George Bush is not, isn't nearly as advanced age as John McCain is, and yet he also represents very much the old paradigm. In fact, it looks like we've taken a couple steps backwards, have we not? Doesn't it look that way in terms of how we're treating Americans, let alone how we're treating people in other countries? So that is something I'm inviting you to take a really strong look at and to make a priority. Is this new paradigm of where can we go as a race? Where can we go in our lives? Because, you know, it's not just about America being a superpower anymore and walking around with the swagger, no matter how much that image is appealing. You know, for some of us, it could actually be appealing. There's nothing like feeling like you're the big man on campus. You know, you get to pound your chest a little bit, you feel good about yourself, and you have a sense of, you know, a greater sense of yourself. Of course, that's only superficial. And underneath it is some kind of deep, deep separation and spiritual disconnection that leads to the need to prove ourselves in that way. And that's why I love, actually, I love Bev's book, Love 'Em or Lose 'Em, which, of course, could apply to your marriage as well as to your employees, right? Because there's really no distinction in a way. It's all about relationship. And it's all about love. In fact, what's really interesting, I got to share this, not to diminish Bev's thoughts about Love 'Em or Lose 'Em. But, you know, sometimes you could love 'em and still lose 'em. So the question is, how can you keep loving either way? Not just love them to keep them, but love them because it's actually our authentic state of being. Because that really is the inside wealth. And I want to come full circle and mix into this cauldron here, the bowl of stew from the beginning as well. Where we talked about this energetic state of loving energy. That may sound new age, but we all know what it is. We all know what it is, and we've known it ever since we were children. And in the most grounded, practical state, each of us would say unequivocally, as one of the things we all have in common, that there's nothing greater in the human experience, in any of our individual or personal human experience, than being in that loving state. Whether it's loving what we're doing, loving who we're with, loving our surroundings, and certainly loving ourselves. That is the furthest thing from New Age and the furthest thing from woo-woo you could possibly get. And that really is the heart of Inside Wealth. After 3 years of being on the show, week after week, talking to some of the most truly thoughtful and amazing people on this planet. Not to say you're not one yourself, even if you haven't been on the air here with me, with us. But to talk to people like Tony La Russa, manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, you know, to speak with a Ken Fisher, who's number 297 on the Forbes 400 list, to speak with a Warren Hellman, literally another billionaire who always invests in people first, to talk to someone like Roger McNamee, who has shared, you gotta love what you do. And taking a step further, you gotta live your truth, whatever that is. Which means you have to understand it. You have to understand yourself and know what that is. And he, by the way, was a guy who wasn't given much more than a month to live at one point himself. To Alvin Toffler. You know, the list goes on and on. And by the way, even though the show is ending next week with new episodes, it will live on and on for quite a while on InsideWealth.net. That's InsideWealth.net, where we will continue to hang our archives for quite some time. Because as Ben Franklin once said, we must hang together, or we will surely hang separately. And as I go into this whole notion of the 1 month to live thing, where I take a look at my own life and what a joy it is to be alive. And what's amazing here is I'm knowing, by the way, a number of people in relationship right now who are undergoing separation or divorce. It's really kind of remarkable how, you know, June, you know, used to be the time for marriages, right? It wasn't that like a June bride thing. It's supposed to be, you know, you wear white, June bride, and live happily ever after. Well, what's amazing is, you know, as we know, divorce rates are high to begin with, but I know a number of people who are getting divorced now. And it's really, in a way, it saddens me. It saddens them on some level. But it's also indicative of the fact that we are here, each of us, doing our best to create love in our lives. And if it's not working out with a particular relationship, you know what? Love comes first. And the ability not just to love, but to create a workable relationship and a peaceful relationship and one where there's alignment is really paramount. And just maybe, it's what's interesting is at least one of these separations actually has very little drama around it. So it can just be a mutual agreement, or at least an acceptance that, you know what, I've got a priority on one thing, you've got a priority on another thing, and we've kind of diverged from where we had been. And, you know, it's okay. It's okay. And what that underscores to me is that we continue to evolve. We continue to grow. And so do you. I mean, the truth is here, we are truly in a new world. We're in a world where economically we are no longer the superpower. Hey, get used to it. You know, there are other kids on the block. We are not in control of our future as it relates to oil and energy. Guess what? Get used to it. I'm not giving you the tough love here. It's just simply a matter of let's take a look at what's real, okay? And it's really a matter of where we place our attention. So if you had 1 month to live, where would you place your attention? On your family? On the people that you love? On the things that you enjoy doing? And that's what you do the most, right? Isn't that how you would spend a great portion of your time? Well, I'm inviting you right now to consider that we don't need a 1 month to live to do that. That we can live a life of greater joy and greater abundance of spirit. It may not always translate into dollars and cents. But you know, very often it does. Very often it does, because it simply comes down to how can I love this person enough in a business relationship to be of such great service to them that it's worth them, to them in money to be in relationship with me, whether it's the product, the service, what have you. You know, and excellence and value, providing value and service have always gone hand in hand with money. And we all know that it's not just about the money. It's about the relationship. So as we're winding down yet another, our second to last episode in this incarnation of Inside Wealth, I'm inviting you to go as deeply as you possibly can within yourself and ask yourself, you know, who am I at the core? And am I in fact connected to all that is? And if I am, can I allow that to breathe with me? Can I allow that to live through me? And what would it want to create and want to experience in life? Because if we're able to do that and let go into that, and I can tell you from firsthand experience when I do this, it feels so great. It feels free, it feels vital, it feels alive, and very grateful to report, very loving. Until next week, invest in yourself, your passions, your purpose, and your planet. As we turn the clock, just you, honey, I'll sell the stock, we'll spend all the money, we're starting up a brand new day. Join us again same time next week on Talk 910 KNEW. And be sure to visit our website at insidewealth.net. Subscribe to our podcast, blog, or learn more about Inside Wealth with Stu Zimmerman. Thanks for listening. Talk 910 KNEW.
You have a business, a mission, and a message. Inside Wealth can deliver that message to an intelligent, insightful, and mindful audience. Being a sponsor on Inside Wealth, you become an important player in a win-win agreement where nobody has to lose. Invest in your business and your purpose by calling 707-425-2360 or go to insidewealth.net. Inside Wealth, the greatest show on earth.